Spokane Civic on the main stage opening this week is Dial M for Murder, and that runs, I think, through the 8th of April, and it opens on Friday, and then it moves to a Thursday, Friday, Saturday sequence, 7:30, and then Sunday at 2, once it gets going. So Dial M for Murder, it becomes kind of one of these classic, American titles that's lurking somewhere in someone's past, and I'm afraid it's lurking too far back in my past. So let's start with Heather McHenry Crutch, who's the director of Dial M for Murder. Give me the 101 of when this piece first came around.
Oh,
roughly.
Okay.
Just a little bit.
Early 50s.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. And as a movie initially, or as a play?
No, as a play initially.
A play initially, and then
Alfred Hitchcock did the movie.
So Hitchcock wasn't involved until it became a movie, I presume.
Correct.
It was a play on its own. Okay, well, give us an opening for those of us who either weren't there or can't remember or didn't have TV when we were kids or didn't go to the movies or something, of what is Dial M for Murder?
Well, Dial M for Murder is, about a murder. It's about a couple living in London in 1952. And pretty early on, the husband decides he wants his wife dead. Mm-hmm. And you might meet the boyfriend, which is part of the reason. And
okay, well, let's start meeting these people. Okay, Tony, played by Patrick McHenry Crutch. Go ahead and tell us why you want your wife dead.
Well, without giving too much away, Tony Windus is a professional tennis player who's past his prime and now retired. Tennis has given up on him.
A little bit of crisis here, a little midlife crisis, et cetera.
Yes. And back then, if you're a tennis star, it's not like you were making a lot of money. You may have had fame, but you weren't making money doing it. And so he marries for money along the way, and things don't go quite his way. And the character's really great because, I mean, he really is a true sociopath. I feel like, as the actor, everything is, he doesn't have any empathy or for other people. It's all about how do things affect him.
Not at all burdened by compassion.
Not at all. Not at all.
Okay.
Which makes it very fun to play.
Okay, and then Molly Allen.
Yes.
As Margot, you sound pretty victim-y here. Are you completely victim-y?
In Tony's defense, I do have my American boyfriend in the flat, and they're just chatting it up, and I'm encouraging them to hang out together. So I think what happens is Tony...
You sound like an operator.
Yeah, well, Tony's on the road a lot, and I think really probably what happened is he was on the road a lot, very full of himself, and she probably found comfort in the arms of this American writer who she met. But once Tony decided that he was going to give up tennis and pay more attention to her, she was more than willing to go back to her marriage. So I think she's torn because she was lonely and she kind of fell into this American's arms, but really she wants Tony. I mean, she wants that to be her person, but she has no problem having them both in the same room and drinking themselves silly while they are waiting.
Does it have to do with the fact that you were the source of the money, that you were a girl that always had what you wanted?
Could be. Now that you say that, I think, I think she felt justified probably in seeking attention from the American, and also completely not guilty anymore because she's cut it off. So, and the American is.
Let's let the boyfriend stick up for himself. If he wants to, go ahead and move the microphone a little more toward you. Andrew Bibbiano playing the boyfriend. You're an American writer. You're just hanging out in England. Talk about yourself.
Sure. The character, just falls in love with the great Margot and wants it to be no longer a secret and tell the husband and go ahead and live their dreams out in the open. But she's, of course, not into that. So he's in the awkward position of trying to be there but also be a secret and hang out with Tony in an awkward way.
And so this is love. This isn't you're after her money or anything like that.
No, not at all.
You're simply attracted to her.
Yeah, I think that the history is that he's not getting definitely anything out of it. He just wants to be with her. And Yeah, it's an interesting character to play. It's a big challenge to not use a British accent when everyone else around me is.
Sure. Yeah. And are you conflicted morally or anything by this stuff, or does it just...
I don't think so. I think that my character's understanding of the relationship is that it's over, or it was on the rocks, and that it was only a matter of time that Tony wasn't good for Margot, and the only moral question my character seems to have is let's be honest about this and tell him. That seems to be the only issue there.
Is that because you're a writer that you think that things should be expressed and open?
Perhaps. I think the part of this character that's interesting is being a writer for murder mysteries means that he's got a little, or he thinks he has expertise.
Oh, you're a writer for murder mysteries?
Yes, for TV.
Oh, all the better.
TV, yeah, so it talks about the beginning how he kills someone every week, you know, and is on his show that he writes for. So he thinks of himself as a self-styled expert, unlike the true expert of the inspector who's going to solve this because he's a fiction writer.
Okay, well, before we bring in the inspector to solve it, let's talk about this, the M word, about murder, because it's both either the, you know, this extreme horrible human thing, or as Andrew's already kind of expressed, there's something almost romantic about the concept of murder and doing, well, I don't know, talk about the different aspects of what murder can mean within a play like this. Go ahead.
Yeah, go ahead.
I guess I'm glad you brought that up because it is kind of romantic, and especially since it's set in 1952 and you have all the sounds of 1952 and the old-fashioned phone ringing and the way the murder happens, it's all very, it feels... It has that, I just want to get what I want and I want to win feel to it that I think everybody's rooting for their own character in this. And it does have that quality that I don't think you have if it's modern day. I mean, I really like that you can keep it in its setting.
But nobody's too conflicted by the fact of murder. It's just kind of how you solve a problem.
It's a little murder between friends.
Yeah. Well, and I think that his ego just can't have it. It's like he finds out about the boyfriend or whatever, but that he wants me dead. But he, even though I'm back, I'm fine. He still has my money. We're all going to be fine. His ego can't have that this even happened. So it's got to be. Yeah. This way.
In
you
the
just
same
gotta
way,
get rid of me.
She must be eliminated.
She must be. How dare her?
In the same way, Margot's not that conflicted about the affair. It's
right.
It's a little, I mean, everybody's a little selfish. She's a little spoiled. He's a little spoiled.
Sure. And so within all this sense of murder, can you tell us right now on the radio who actually dies? Or is that what we have to come to the play to find out?
I think it's fun to not.
Yeah.
Okay, let's leave that out of it. So at this point, we have to find the guy that's going to, one way or another, figure this out, Tom Hepler, as Inspector Hubbard. And so, Mr. Inspector, how are you going to work this out?
Well, the nice thing about it, I mean, I come into a situation where I don't know these people. They know each other. So they're playing their games, and I have to figure out from what is the game and what is the truth. And it's a lot of red herrings and a lot of misfocus of what's going on and what's not going on. And it's really nice that way because it's hard to do thrillers on stage well, but this play's written very well where if you watch, you'll see something happen, but you miss it and you don't know what's going on. So the clues are all there. And it's a matter for me to figure out which clues are real and which clues are fake. Mm-hmm. And then I put my own little, my character puts his own little spin on it and plays them.
Yeah, talk a little bit more about beyond just having a good brain to figure things out. What are your personality issues in this?
It's... You know, when I looked at the part, it's very Hercule Poirot. It's very Columbo. It's very, you have this guy who's just kind of a cop on the beat and kind of stupid or appears to be stupid or learns how to play people and against each other and for each other so that they tell me things that they don't know they're telling me. And, you know, I know stuff that they don't think I know. And just the amusement of doing that to somebody is kind of fun.
So yeah. You enjoy being Machiavellian that way.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. You know, everybody has their goal in the show to get their what they want, and my goal is to figure all of this out. And I mean, I saw the movie years ago and stuff, and I was so surprised because I didn't have a clue that that's what was going on, you know. And even though, and so it's
satisfying for the audience that the inspector is who he is, because he kind of speaks for the audience and leads them along on the discovery.
Well, an audience like him, though, should pay close attention. There's a lot of stuff going on in this play that you don't know is important until later. And so,
sometimes the inspector figures it out differently.
Exactly.
Sometimes also. Here's the thing about this show, and we joke that it could turn into a farce just because so many things could go wrong. But without a good director, this show could be a disaster. And Heather's done such a good job of crafting it because it's so technical in some parts. It's very, very simplistic in some. The stage is really, really close. It's really nice. It's going to be a small stage. It's one stage so that in this big theater, you can still really follow the story. But there were nights where she'd come up with something. We'd all go, oh, my God. We get chills and go, oh, yes, that's what that character does. But she's done such a beautiful job of crafting it. So it's
very nice.
It's true. And without a good director, I think this show would, I wouldn't, you know, not just anybody should take it on.
Right. Yeah. We were thinking of doing this on Sundays as a farce. Because you know, all you have to do is accentuate that line a little bit or this movement a little bit, you know, and it could become very melodramatic farce.
Put one prop in the wrong place and it all falls apart.
Because it's like where did we put that? Is that where it's supposed to be? Because things have to be
working
where they have to be.
Hello. So if April 1st were not Easter Sunday, you might be mightily tempted.
Yeah, that would be very tempting.
Would be very tempted.
But also, Dawn Taylor Reinhardt has come in and helped us with our accents because since it is in London, and she's crafted it where Patrick and Molly both have very proper British accents. Mine is a little bit more rural, and then the Matt, who's playing Lesgate, he has a totally different sound, so you get that regional dialect. And she's been very helpful and. Mm-hmm. We think we know how to speak with a British accent because you watch a lot of BBC or whatever. And,
or listen to it all the time.
Or listen to it all the time, you know, and watch PBS and all that. But it was like my biggest one was I was saying garage for garage. Mm. And she said, no, it's garage. I said, oh, you mean like carriage? She said, yes, it's garage. And it's like, oh. So little things like that were very helpful, and she's been really, really generous with her time on this.
Well, it is a great detail because, the range of accents on that island is really pretty extreme.
Yeah, because when we were talking, I said, I have to say bank statements. And I said, so how do you say bank with the accent? She said, bank. She said, yes, not everything has to have a lilt to it.
And I argued that the American could be from Texas. You know, there's no reason why I had to be from me. But
and I said no.
Just wanted to have an accent.
I wanted to have an accent like everybody else.
You just not needed there. To be from Ohio. And Dial M for Murder, we're having a wonderful, slightly loose time with all the people involved. Heather McHenry Crutch, the director of this, and Patrick McHenry Crutch as Tony, Molly Allen as Margot, that's the husband-wife in this, if you're just joining us, Tom Hepler as Inspector Hubbard, and Andrew Biviano as Max Halliday, the American who kind of is confusing the issue here. And there's one more person. Are you the entire cast minus one, or are there a bunch of more people?
Two more.
There is one small part. There's some offstage voices.
Well, sure.
Yeah.
But one major person.
Talk about
Kaylin Martin is the offstage voice, but then Matt Cordoza, I believe is how we say his last name. He is the person from the past who comes in who Tony, my character, tries to take advantage of.
Okay, good. So there's the remaining one of Dial M for Murder opening this Friday night and running through the 8th of April. Well, it sounds like on the 9th of April you're all going to just be kind of sad that you're no longer having your big romp through all this.
I it's true. You know, this is the first time I've ever attempted a non-musical or comedy. Mm-hmm. You know, I write comedies. I act in comedies. I've never done this before, and I've loved the process because when you do a comedy, you start out, everybody's laughing at your jokes, and then that fades, and so you start to second guess, and you don't know if it's going well. Well, with this, because there's no expectation of that, you just get to do the work and dive deeper and everything. And I think probably for the director and the stage crew, it's a relief, too, because they don't have to, yes, you're still funny. Yes, no, it's still working. You get just watch it. And I've loved it. Plus, this is a great cast. It's what we call the drama-free cast. We love that.
Yeah,
it's been a really it's just great all process. Fun.
Yeah, it has been.
Molly Allen speaking just now. We well, have a wonderful time with that.
Thanks, Vern.
That's Dial M for Murder opening this Friday at Spokane Civic Theater on the main stage.